WHHL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery from Brant Snedeker. Alan Bell, we make it happen on this show. What's the best round of golf that you've ever shot in your life? Was it Snedeker-esque?
No, it is not.
Like Snedeker after a couple of beers, as he said, it all just...
He said, I don't even like to play when drinking because it frustrates me.
That interview you guys had was awesome. Like, I would love to see him at Topgolf. I thought that was a great question of, like, is he just drilling it every time? You know,
like taking Kramer to karate class with the children?
Yeah.
Take Brant Snedeker to just, like, your local Muni?
No, yeah. Dude, give him a pitcher of beer and make him swing left-handed. He's still going to kick your ass.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So my best round of golf literally is probably a 90. You know what I mean?
That's about where I am.
Yeah, and I love to play golf. Love it.
Me too.
It's hard, man.
It's hard.
It is so hard, you know.
It's so easy to get in your own head.
Oh, yeah. Like, all it takes is just one, just, you know, flop shot, you know, where you just skin or whatever. And
elevated greens suck.
I know. I know. It's fun, though. It's a fun sport.
Or I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good point.
XFL makes its debut. Are you all in, like many football fans have said they were, at least for 1 week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not all in, but, you know, you gotta give them credit. I think that if you talk to, you know, Oliver Luck, their commissioner, you know, really the big thing when you're starting a first weekend is just don't have any, like, you know, major screw-ups, right? And everything went over well. I thought, you know, the audiences enjoyed it. You know, every game, all four games had over 17,000 in attendance. And I thought that, you know, they kind of got some things right. Like, their rules, you know, are very simplified. So we didn't have games that were broken up by 19 holding penalties or anything like that. So, I mean, it's cool. You know, I think they'll have higher numbers this week. And then really from the AAF, it was like week three and on, you know, that was when it kind of started to fall apart.
Well, you couldn't find it.
Yeah.
It was one problem. So, like, they had the opener on CBS and then that was it.
Yep.
And you're like, where did the league go? These games are all going to be on ABC, Fox, and ESPN.
Smart play.
Why are you not all in?
Well, you know what? I guess maybe I got burned on the last one.
The Alliance AF.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you don't want to put your heart out there again.
You dated the Alliance AF.
Yeah,
and you got scorned.
Yeah, yes. She left me for a better golfer, you know, so what are you going to do? No, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% invested. You know what I mean? But it's cool. It's nice that there's football on. And, you know, I know for a lot of sports fans, you know, that aren't really, you know, say NBA guys or, you know, college basketball or even maybe hockey, you know, you've got a sport on, you know, that you can watch. Plus,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, the biggest part is that you can find it. It's easy to find, you know, channels, you know, on TV. And there's a betting aspect, you know, that they're all in on as well. And I think there's a lot of, you know, people who, just for that factor, you know.
At Sportsline, just dove all into this.
All in, yeah. We actually, our expert, R.J. White, he went 4-0 in his picks last week.
How in the world on something that didn't exist a week before?
Exactly. I said the same thing.
Like, Wizards have you hired at Sportsline?
Like our Slack channel. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
He's like Paganini and Jimmy Page. He's almost sold to the devil.
We had like we use Slack.
XFL pick prowess.
Yeah, like talk. And it's like him and like our like DFS guy are like having these, you know, like 2 week long conversations. And I was like, you're breaking down who, you know, like, but no, they did well. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, I love a lot. And we talked a lot about this yesterday, but I love a lot of things that they're doing. And Don hit on it immediately when we talked to Oliver Luck. It's the access.
Yeah.
They provide such great access to fans because everybody's mic'd up. So, I mean, you have the ability to hear everything. They interview players right after big plays. They interview the coach while he's standing on the sideline while plays are going on.
Yeah.
The review process is all mic'd up. And it's, I love all of those things.
And they got a camera in there so you can see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Another thing that I love, and we didn't hit on this yesterday, was the 2-minute warning deal. The plays stops every play. So your entire playbook is open to you. You can throw it across the middle and they'll stop the clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which leads us, hopefully, to more drama and comebacks and all of those things.
Yeah, you know, and I think you nailed it right there on multiple, you know, topics that you don't have to be the NFL. And you know what? Don't try because you're not going to be. No one is.
Right.
But if you just have a good, solid product and you know, bring the audience in to things that they don't get. Like when you have coaches mic'd up and you can hear the play call, we have no idea, what the play call is, but just being, allowed that extra layer to see what's going on is really, really cool. I think fans are going to enjoy that more. And I look for, how they bring in social engagement, right? So if you've got, like a really long review, you know, using Twitter or something to where fans can literally say, like, you know, did he catch it? Did he not catch it? Like, anything that you can engage the audience with, that's going to get you points. You know what I mean? So I think they're willing and open to do any of those kind.
What are the chances the NFL takes anything ever from the XFL?
You know, they took the Skycam last time, right? Like,
okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, there's an opportunity there.
That's a point.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe not the kickoff. Maybe not the kickoff, yeah. But we all liked the kickoff.
But yeah. Things can get tested without you doing it.
Absolutely, and I think that's the biggest thing for the NFL is that they can test all this stuff, right? So, you know, when we look at, like, Don, your question, like, when we look at what they're going to take from this year, probably nothing. Right, like, you know, immediately, but
would love the review.
Absolutely, yeah, the transparency would be fantastic, right? You know, so, you know, if you could look and say, you know, the NFL says, well, you know what, audiences really enjoy the pace of the game and that it's not broken up by so many penalties, and you go a full season with, well, you know, there were 9 penalties per game in an XFL game, there are, say, 19 or whatever in an NFL game, they might look at it and say, okay, that's how we solve, you know, a kind of our officiating, you know, problem, quote unquote, is to just kind of simplify it a little bit. So I think, you know, just the look of it and the feel and what audiences like, that's what the, you know, they'll take and tweak things from it for sure.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alan Bell, Sportsline, hanging out with us, talking all things NFL and football, including XFL talk. We'll switch to the NFL now. A lot of Titans fans, anxiously awaiting the contract fates of Tannehill and Derrick Henry, among others. And today we find out Ryan Tannehill has switched agents.
Yeah, and, you know, it brings up a couple things. So, you know, you first see it, you know, kind of break on Twitter, and you think to yourself, all right, he's gone to CAA. Like, you know, the guy wants to cash in. And then we find out that his agent is, I believe, the same agent as John Robinson, right? So it's like, okay, well, is there a connection, you know, with that? And then the last thing I thought of was, well, I feel bad for his last guy, like the last agent. You know, he's with Ryan, and then now, boom, you're about to get paid, and he's gone. Like, what happened with that, you know, kind of relationship? But, yeah, I mean, you could tell Ryan is you know, at least going to, you know, he knows he's about to make some money, whether it's in Nashville or somewhere else across the league. Good for him. The guy deserved it. He earned it.
It's fascinating when you just look at the number of quarterbacks, including huge names like Brady, and now it's official Rivers, it's official Brady, that these guys will become free agents. Drew Brees is technically one. We don't know if we'll see him actually take that route or not. But there, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, there are a bunch of guys that you know, and literally some guys who are, well, the greatest of all time. Philip Rivers, who will get some great Hall of Fame discussion and will probably eventually get in because of all the numbers, but that's a lot to compete with for Ryan Tannehill or for anybody. And Dak Prescott may become a free agent. It's just amazing.
It is. You know, that's a lot of big names. And, you know, not only that, you know, I mean, there's so many layers to exactly what you just said, right? So you look at, you know, the quarterback position. Well, if you've got all these big names, you know, is that going to lower the number for what Ryan Tannehill might cost, right? You know, could it work out in the Titans' favor, you know, in terms of that? But here's also the hard part is that these other teams in free agency, I mean, unless you have like a one specific position, like if the, you know, the Titans are saying, well, if we're going to spend, we want to get, you know, an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not, you know, necessarily too worried about the other quarterbacks per se, but there's a lot of teams that are going to kind of be in limbo, like the Chargers, right? Like you can't really go spend and do anything until you figure out, are you going to make the run at Tom Brady? Are you going to make, you know, are you sticking with Tyrod Taylor? You know, like, what are you going to do at the quarterback position? And then you bring up guys like Jameis Winston. Where does he go? Is he a starter in the league, right? Like, does he go to, you know, if you're the Chicago Bears.
I mean, he's in the 30-30 club, Alex.
Yeah, he is. You know, do you give up on Mitch Trubisky and say, all right, well, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and say we're going to be, you know, Jameis now, right? Like,
Tom brought up Teddy Bridgewater to Chicago, and that kind of resonated with me.
Yeah,
that might make sense.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good quarterback, you know, and especially with somebody, you know, an offensive mind, you know, with that team. And look what Teddy did when Drew Brees was out.
Yeah.
I mean, Teddy was fantastic. I think he was perfect, right?
5-0.
Yeah, I mean, he was literally great. So, you know, not only that, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, teams being in limbo. Like, Don, you bring up Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's the perfect one. What if Drew Brees retires? You know, now you're looking at it, okay, well, now the Saints are going to have to throw big money at Teddy. So then, Chicago.
But they've said they're going Taysom Hill.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I like Taysom Hill as an athlete. I think if you look at his.
Is he a franchise quarterback?
I wrote this down. I wrote this down.
Yeah.
These are his passing stats for this year. You have any idea how many passes he threw? You want to? You just take a wild guess.
30.
Lower.
Well,
you okay
I
over
that
there?
That was pretty low.
Lower.
That was like a nausea sound.
20?
Lower.
Lower than 20?
Lower than 20.
10?
Lower.
This is like Price is Right.
No, he threw 7 passes.
Well, holy crap, we just saw the highlight package. We saw all 7 of them.
He threw 7. He was 3 of 6 in the regular season for 55 yards and 1 of 1 in the postseason for 50.
Seven passes.
7 passes yeah. for 105 yards.
Alvin Kamara had 1 pass this year. You know what I mean? Like, man. So, I mean, it goes to show, like, I mean, you know, Teddy's their guy.
So
like,
that guy threw 7 more passes than we did?
Yes, yeah. And I get it. He's just a really cool gadget player. But are you ready to go?
Go gadget.
Here are the keys to, I mean, the NFL team, just pick your luxury car. Here are the keys to the Ferrari.
Yeah.
No, you've thrown 7 passes.
Doesn't New Orleans have to know that Drew Brees is coming back?
You would think, you know, you would think. And I'll say this. If I were New Orleans.
Because then it would make it easy to make that comment.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's not your franchise quarterback, right?
Exactly.
But he's still happy and wants to come back.
That's a great point. You know, you're probably right. I'll say this, and I love Teddy Bridgewater. If I were New Orleans and Drew Brees texts tonight and says, hey, I'm going to retire, like, just want to let you guys know before it gets to the news, that's a team that goes after Tom Brady. You can win immediately in a dome, NFC, boom, right? Like, and again, not to play that where does Brady go, but that's a team where he would say, all right, I can ride with Sean Payton. You've got a Super Bowl caliber team. But yeah, Taysom Hill, I don't know if I'm ready to ride as, you know, full-time guy.
We literally have seen all of his passes in a 32-second highlight that's been on ESPN running in a loop all day.
Yeah. Video guy didn't have to do too much editing on that one. That was a pretty quick video to submit.
7 passes. Well, I mean, just to find the 4 completions probably took a little digging. The other aspect of this is, and I asked these guys this question earlier, I'll ask you, are everybody who could potentially have a quarterback opening is projecting, okay, what about Tom Brady? What if he's only good for 2 years? And I'll say this, seems like now more than ever, it is a win immediately. It is a win yesterday league. And the whole idea of, well, it's only 2 years. I don't even know how many people would care about that. We'll worry about 2 years in 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, look at the playoffs and think about how many teams had a current quarterback that had more than, let's just say, 4 years with that team. The Titans didn't. The Chiefs didn't. The 49ers didn't. The Ravens didn't, right? The Packers might have been like one of the only ones. Like, so what I'm saying by that is you could think and project and want to say, well, we've got our 10-year quarterback. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of live in 1, 2, 3 year windows, you know? So if you know and think to yourself, hey, Tom Brady or Philip Rivers, they've got 2 years left in them. I'll ride with the 2 years.
Especially when you have a 26-year-old running back that put up almost 400 carries this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so if you we're
speaking in 2 year windows now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, you know, I mean, the NFL, like things happen so, so fast. So yeah, you know, 1, 2 years, if you know they can play, you'll be all right.
Think about Philip Rivers as he has officially been cast out into the market.
It's tough. Philip Rivers threw for a lot of yards, but, you know, throwing for a lot of yards doesn't always mean a whole lot, right? And I think you've got a tough guy. I think he works for a team to where if you need a bridge to a young quarterback, he's that guy, and he's not going to be looking over his shoulder, and he's going to take care of the young guy. Like, he can almost be kind of another quarterback coach. I think, you know, somebody like Bruce Arians in Tampa would love him. You know, and say, hey, you could be our guy, you know, 1, 2 years. Don't
That's
worry
where
about
he moved.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And it makes, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And you can do a lot of things with him there. You can draft another quarterback. You can, you know, you can make moves. It's really going to depend on his price, you know. But, you know, Philip Rivers can do some things, but there's also he has limitations. We see that arm. I mean, it gets more kind of shot putty by the year. You know what I mean? And that's nothing against him. He's awesome. Been awesome for a while. But
yes, it is against him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he's still accurate with that
it's
thing.
Hard to watch. It's hard to watch.
It is. Yeah, in the last 2 years, it definitely has been, you know. And, you know, he's
you know what else is hard to watch? What is he, 8-2 against the Titans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
In the playoffs.
I know. Yeah.
One more segment on 3HL today with Alan Bell. Tennessee basketball coming up tonight against Arkansas on The Zone at 6 o'clock. Ryan and Spring Hill coming up now, though. Ryan, say hello to Alan Bell and the 3HL crew.
How you doing, man? Thank you so much for taking my call. You guys have been talking about, you know, the different quarterbacks, and man, I would love to see Brady I'd love to see Brady go somewhere else. And you know, if I'm him, which I'm not, but if I'm him, I'm going to Indianapolis or I'm going to Dallas, someplace where they're Dallas is pretty set to win, not to mention they're in the NFC East. But if you go 9-7, you're probably going to win, you know, the NFC East. But I wanted to ask you the question. I don't think Brady can just go anywhere and be the GOAT. I feel like the reason he is so good, especially this late in his career, is, I mean, he gets rid of it in less than 2 seconds. And so what are the teams that have a scheme? You know, if he goes to a team that has, you know, long developing plays, I think he's going to get hit like he's never been hit before in his career, especially this late in his career. So I think sometimes to just think, you know, if he goes to the Chargers or whatever, if they don't have, you know, if they don't have the Julian Edelman receivers that are, you know, can get open that quickly or whatever, their scheme doesn't fit. Obviously, he's smart enough to know that. But what do you think of, you know, what do you think of the teams that are built for that? Me personally,
thank you, Ryan.
I think he's going back to New England. But
okay.
But me personally, I think. But anyway, thanks for taking my call, fella.
Yeah, man.
I do too, because it's an entirely new scheme that he's going to have to learn and go through and deal with.
It is, you know. I think you're right. I mean, it makes sense, and I think a lot of what he's doing now, especially putting it out, is putting the pressure on New England to say, "Go get weapons, like go do this." And at the end of the day, I think that they do. But with what Ryan was saying, he brings up a good point. Like, I think you could take the Chargers out of it. Brady knows you can't win there. He doesn't care about, you know, this isn't a money grab for him. He wants to win. He wants to finish his career if he leaves in the most optimal prime spot. So he's not going to go there. He's not going to go to Chicago. He's not going to go to Tampa Bay. You know, it would be legitimately, you know, a Saints, Titans, Colts is fascinating. And Cowboys. Like, I think it would be down to teams like that, right? And Indy would be wild. Could you imagine if he went to Indianapolis?
No.
That would be crazy. Like, I don't think he would go there, but that would be just wild to see. After
that almost would be like the Auburn quarterback transferring to Alabama.
Yeah, it would, right? Like, yeah, it just wouldn't fit. With Dallas, I mean, he would be a fit there, but, you know, do they just get rid of Dak just like that? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know,
and then what number does he wear? Does Roger Staubach go, "It's okay, big fella. You can bust out to 12.
That's a good point. Now, Jerry Jones would market that. My Lord, Jerry Jones would make money.
Cowboys be worth $7 billion.
They really would. But, you know, and he brings up another good point in terms of, you know, Brady and the offense. Yeah, I mean, he gets rid of the ball quick. And what Brady brings is knowledge, experience, getting rid of the ball quickly, accuracy, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, Sean Payton would work wonders with that guy. But Brady didn't fit everywhere, you know.
Take another call here. I'll you guys checking in this last segment here with Alan Bell. Cody in Bowling Green next. Cody, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, hey, man.
Good, good. I just want to talk a quick couple things. First, I wanted to talk the draft to get away from all the Tannehill and Henry talk. I think at the pick there at the end of the first round, I think he's going to trade out of and get a couple more picks in the second and third round. And the reason I say that is I think that second and third round, they could still get that edge rusher and that offensive lineman that's going to be there to help Kelly replace Conklin, because I don't think they keep Conklin.
I agree with everything.
One you can't just spend your money on. It's just too big of a risk, too big of a raise, in my opinion.
I agree with everything you
maybe
just
said. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm worried about right now, because at the end of the day, as far as that quarterback running back situation goes, I think we keep Henry, 2 years heavy up front, figure out a way to get out on the third year, and we franchise Tannehill. And I say that because you want to play your odds. Your odds are better in the running back situation the next couple of years than taking a chance on Tannehill, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you guys thought about that.
I think they want to sign both of them long term, but I agree with literally everything that Cody just said.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brent, I think you said it. I think he said it right before you went to the Super Bowl, or, you know, when you guys went down there. Like, it would make sense, trade out. It's essentially, you know, a second-round pick. Anyway, you can get value for it, right? And I'll really quickly, I went through and looked at every pick at the number 29 since 2012. We won't go through all of them, but just some names of guys that were out there. Harrison Smith, Cordrell Patterson, Dominique Easley, Philip Dorsett, David Njoku, Robert Kimdichie. So you've got names there. It's a sellable pick, right? So I'm with you. Like, I think that would make the most sense, you know, if you could get good value for it.
I'm a little bit scared of second round picks, Kevin Dodd, Austin Johnson, you know, but I'm also encouraged when you think of Derrick Henry. There have been some good ones too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll say this, with all of the free agency stuff that's going on, and say that, you know, out of the big four, if they get, you know, re-signed three of them, Henry, Tannehill, and, you know, Logan or Conklin, you're going to have to hit on draft picks now, you know, because you're going to kind of be out of money, and you're not going to be able to spend much in free agency. So you're going to have to hit on a corner, on an edge rush, but that's what the good teams do, so...
Got a little bit of time left with Alan Bell. I read this number earlier. I'd written this down a couple of days ago, and then we just got busy. Didn't talk about it. According to Statista, which I guess is some type of website that aggregates statistics of different types, the NFL brought in $14.48 billion in 2018. And remember, it wasn't that long ago where we were being sold this narrative of, it's a dying league, and they can't figure out how to get people to watch. And oh no,
yeah,
almost $15 billion last year. That was 2018. It's going to be over $15 billion in 2019.
It is, and you know we all know that the NFL's goal is to get to $25 billion.
Yeah.
So that's $10 billion. So everything that we talk about in terms of them going overseas, Mexico, China, you know, once you know those, you know, kind of government situations, you know, calm down a little bit. Like no, I mean that like that's oh, where yeah. they want to go, right? They've talked about it for years now. It goes to show how much more that they want to grow. And it's wild because you wouldn't think that the NFL really can. Once you own a day of the week, it's pretty tough to get bigger, you know, but
they own a day of the week. I mean, them and Jesus, no offense to Jesus, but as from a non-church standpoint, oh, I'm trying not to get struck by lightning here.
No, I love it. I know exactly what you're saying. You're right. Yeah. Like,
yes.
I mean, that's how big they are. And they want to, you know, they want to go 10 more billion. You know, how do you go about doing that?
Well, the Jaguars going to London may have something to do with it because they announced last week that they were going to play two games there. They might as well just tarp the whole stadium and move the whole operation,
You might as well, you know. And I mean, then
25% of their home games are in London.
Just give them an XFL team with a dumb name and a cartoon mascot and then just send the Jags to London and call them the Palace Guards or something.
Well, I think that'd have to be the if you go from you know Jacksonville Jaguars, you'd have to be like the London Leopards or something.
No,
right?
Werewolves.
Yeah, well, see, you know what?
Werewolves of London.
I just like the fans showing up in like Dolphins jerseys. There's a Vikings guy out there.
Well, you know,
like,
it's a football game.
It's just craziness.
Yeah. I've told them before. I've never been to a game at Nissan Stadium that I didn't see somebody in a Redskins jersey.
Yeah,
it may be the same guy.
It might be.
Yeah.
What is all this talk on our timeline about you and T-Rack?
Well, I don't want to give away all of the inner secrets, but let's just say years ago, there was one gentleman who was T-Rack for a long, long, long time. Great guy. And
no kids, T-Rack is T-Rack.
Yeah, sorry. Apologies. Yeah. I forgot. It was kind of like the when you're near Christmas.
what are you doing? Stop that.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, I don't want to give away all the secrets, but... There was a time where we'd do a lot of work.
It was a fun ride, Alan.
Yeah, it's been a great time. See you guys. No. There was a time I did a lot of work with them, and you could go back and see some clips of T-Rex highlights throughout a few of the years. And
you were in those highlights, man?
Yeah, yeah,
a lot of them. Are you the villain in some of them?
You name it. In a Vikings uniform and was hit by T-Rack on, you know, he had a four-wheeler. He had, like, all kinds of trucks and go-karts and all kinds of stuff, man.
Very. How did you become that guy?
The wildest
thing.
How did
you become the Washington Generals for T-Rack?
I know, right? A friend of a friend and just ended up doing it. And one time, I think it was 2012.
You were part of the Rack Pack.
The Cowboys were playing here. playing here on Fox, and I dressed as Troy Aikman while Troy Aikman was calling the game, and I don't think Troy appreciated that. I don't think he really liked it. So
this is great.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good stories. We could go through hours of them.
Yeah, we're expecting video that we can put out on 3HL's Twitter.
Yeah,
well, it's out there.
Yeah, okay. It's there. Yeah, I'll get you some good videos and pictures. Yeah,
Alan Bell, T-Rex, Foil. Always great to see you, man. At Alan Bell 247, or just go to sportsline.com. That's where all the magic is. They're 4-0 in their XFL picks. What more do you need?
Yeah, running it. Yeah, it's good.
5 o'clock hour coming up next. Matt Jones, if you're a Vols fan, you probably want to catch that segment. Ooh, that's coming up at 5:15 right here on 104.5 The Zone.